Hey, fishies, welcome to another episode of Auntie Wombat's Bible Class. Remember that in order for me to keep this podcast going, I need questions from you. You can leave me voicemail or text 415-504-2289. You can DM me on Instagram at Wombatalim, on Twitter at @_Wombat. You can send me a message from the Auntie Wombat's Bible Class Facebook page, or you can use the Ask Me Anything feature on Tumblr, where I am Wombatalim there as well. Can also help by sharing this podcast with your friends. Get the word out. Subscribe in whatever app you subscribe in. Rate if that's an option for you. Just get it out. Get more people listening. More people listening means more people can send in questions. This week I had a couple of questions about gender dysphoria and how to deal with it. Specifically, I had one person ask specifically about dealing with periods and binders. So I'm going to start there. Dealing with periods, there are only two real reliable ways to stop your period, and those both involve hormones. One is to go on T, and the other is to go on birth control, something like Depo-Provera, which I really do not recommend. It tends to do really nasty things otherwise, but if it works for you, it works for you. The other is to get birth control pills. Usually birth control pills come with 3 weeks worth of active pills and then a week's worth of placebos. If you just skip the placebos, you'll skip your period. Now, problem with birth control pills is it does raise your estrogen levels. So if you're a trans guy, that might not be the best thing. It's up to you whether that's worth not having your period and if you can't go on T yet. A couple other things can keep you from having periods, like really heavy exercise. And when I say heavy exercise, I mean like Olympic runner level of exercise. And that's something where don't do that just to kill your period because it may not work. If you're really super athletic already, then, you know, may or may not stop your period. But that's heavy levels of physical activity can do that. And stress can make you not get a period, but I really don't recommend doing that on purpose. That's not any fun at all. So really that leaves you with the hormonal options one way or the other. I wish I had better news. I know periods suck. That is my least favorite thing of about having a uterus and the body that comes with it. But it's a thing. The good news is if you can medically transition, if you can take testosterone, that should prevent your periods as well. Binders. What to do about binders? If you can afford it, I highly recommend going to gc2b.co for your binders. It is a company owned and run by trans men. We have had very good experiences with them. They run $30 to $35, I think, each. So if you can afford it, go there. If you cannot afford it, free binders, binder donations, they're a thing. 0.5cc.com/chest-binder-donation is a place where you can go to request one for free if you can't afford to buy one. And I will put these two links in the show notes. In general, I do recommend using binders, actual proper binders. If you must, you can probably make do with a couple of sports bras laid together. Do not use like an ACE bandage or anything. That's not good for you at all. And if you're using a binder, wear it for 8 to 10 hours a day at most. Listen to your body. If it hurts, don't keep it on. And give yourself a day or two off each week. Don't wear that 24/7. It's not good for you. So some more general things you can do for dealing with gender dysphoria. The easiest thing is your presentation, hair, clothes, makeup, possibly. Dress how you want, do your hair how you want. If you want to wear makeup, go for it. Those are absolutely the easiest things you can do for yourself. Do whatever activities you like to do. Get yourself out there. If you're making art or playing a sport or doing a dance class or whatever, doing activities you enjoy will really help overall especially if they involve your body in some way, sports, dancing, that kind of thing, because that gives you other ways to be comfortable with your body, even if you're not necessarily comfortable with all aspects of it. If you have other physical or mental health issues, take care of those as best as you can, because not because they cause the dysphoria or anything, but the stress of dealing with other mental or physical ailments and the stress of body dysphoria will compound each other. They'll make each other worse. So it's not so much about eliminating it, because you can't really until you have the body you want, but mitigating as much as possible is what we can try to do. Be kind to yourself. Please don't beat yourself up because you were born in the wrong body. It's unfortunate, but it's not your fault. You can also keep in mind, cisgendered people also have things about their bodies that they don't like, and often they are just as powerless to do anything about it, and perhaps even more powerless. I mean, again, there's, you know, most of the population has something about their bodies they don't like. It's just not you. It's just with cisgendered people, it doesn't happen to be the sexual organs. Or maybe they don't even like something about their sexual organs. It's not the sexual organs themselves. Community. Find some people who feel like you and bond. It really helps to, you know, find other people who understand what you're going through because they've gone through it or they are going through it. Not just peers, but also, you know, make friends with older people, older trans people, for example, and, you know, ask them for some advice. I mean, in my case, I do have some body dysphoria, but not necessarily gender-related body dysphoria. So, you know, while I can understand on an intellectual level what it's like, I don't have the visceral understanding that someone who is trans would. Challenge the binary is another big one. In one of my early shows, maybe even the first one, I talked a lot about how the gender binary is largely a cultural construct. And when I say challenge the binary, I mean a few things. First of all, you probably have some internalized biases. Everyone does. And challenge these biases, both within yourself and in others. If you catch someone, I don't know about behaving, but making statements that are very gender biased, or it can be anything, you know, like girls don't like math. That's totally a cultural concept. Girls can actually be very good at math if they are not given the message that they're bad at it. Just as an example. But challenge these biases both in yourself and in others. You know, spend some time thinking about, like, what is your concept of what is a girl and what is your concept of what is a boy? And realize that most of those are probably assumptions. And there are a lot of girls that have boy traits and a lot of boys that have girl traits. And just, you know, make sure you understand when you're thinking about these things that the culture makes a lot of stuff gendered that really shouldn't be. And then along those lines, with your own gender expression, only pick the traits you want. If you're a trans boy, for example, and there is a trait that is considered to be masculine, but you don't really like it, then you don't have to emulate it if you don't like it, even if culturally it seems more masculine. We actually have a word for that, or a pair of words, a phrase, toxic masculinity, which is very prevalent among cisgendered men in this culture. They try to fit into this cultural expectation of what is male. And in a lot of cases, they're forcing themselves into this mold where they would be much happier to not worry about what culture thought was male and just be themselves. And you should do that too. And in this regard, it's actually going to be a little easier because you're not forcing yourself that people expected of you when you were growing up. You've already learned a different set of traits, and now you can just take on the ones that work for you and ignore the ones that don't. Another thing you can do is try to identify triggers. If you find yourself, you know, at certain times getting really hard on your body, see if you can figure out what sets that off and then avoid those situations. And maybe it's something as simple as people misgendering you, which totally get it. And, you know, sometimes it's hard to avoid that, but you have to keep correcting people. And if it's someone who you don't have to be around and they keep misgendering you after you've corrected them, don't spend time with that person. Or if there's certain situations you get in, like, I don't know, watching some show on television and this show has a bunch of people with perfect bodies and the gender you prefer, and that really sets off your dysphoria, maybe you shouldn't watch that show anymore. And then, yeah, as I just mentioned, if there's people in your life who refuse to call you by your correct name, who refuse to use the correct pronouns for you, don't spend time with those people if you can help it. It just is that simple. You know, you don't need that level of negativity around you all the time. It causes stress. Stress causes dysphoria, which causes more stress, and all gets worse. And it's all these little things put together. I mean, one of the reasons trans kids are 8 times more likely to commit suicide than the cisgendered population is because so many people are dismissive of your identity. And to some extent, if you're still beholden to your parents and they're the ones misgendering you, well, there's a limit to how much you can do about that. But if it's people outside of your family, or even outside of your immediate family, it's easy enough to tell people you don't want to be around them and refuse to interact with them if they won't call you by your correct name, if they won't call you by your correct pronouns. And you kind of have to pick your battles a little bit with that because, you know, walking around the street or going into stores, people aren't always going to necessarily gender you correctly on the first try. And if it's someone you're never going to see again, it's probably not worth the trouble of opening that can of worms. But if it is someone you interact with regularly, you know, correct them, remind them what your name is, remind them what your pronouns are. And if they keep doing it after you keep correcting them and they don't even try to use the right pronouns or the right name, then just stop spending time with that person. And then finally, I did have one more question about help for coming out to parents. But I just did a show on that a few weeks ago. So rather than go into all that right now, to the person who asked that question, I suggest you go back and listen to episode 7. I did a whole episode on coming out. So give that a listen. Look for it in whatever app you're using to listen to the podcast, or you can go to podcast.onebattlehymn.com and you'll see it on the webpage there. You can listen right from the website. And that is my show for today. Remember, you can call or text 415-504-2289. You can DM me on Instagram or Twitter. You can send me a message on Facebook. You can send me a question on Tumblr. Get in touch. I'd love to hear from you. Thanks for listening. Stay safe.